This is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chip Hennell with the ad.
So the tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to the Bet Online today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with anything you may need in that situation. But yeah, this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and All-American quarterback Chimdi Chekwai. Man, we don't got a lot to talk about, man. It's a spring ball. The guys are coming off of spring break, but we're going to get into some stuff because we did just have all the NFL scouts in town checking out our guys at a pro day. Chim, I mean, have you heard anything from pro day? Do you remember your pro day? Like, what's your thoughts on pro day real quick, and so we can kind of dive into some topics?
Yeah, I mean, pro day, obviously, it's an opportunity for these guys to go out there and kind of give their last impression, their last final interview prior to the draft, prior to potentially becoming an NFL football player. Ohio State had a good group of guys there. Obviously, not everybody did everything at Pro Day, but it seemed like it was a good day all around. I didn't get to go, but, you know, saw some of the videos, some of the statistics that came out of it.
Right, and it seemed like we had a lot of guys participate. Obviously, guys that's going on to the NFL, guys that's currently on the team. CJ Stroud was in town, so that's always fun to see him around supporting the guys still and him doing this thing. And I mean, it was very interesting. I remember my pro day. I don't know if you remember. I know you remember yours. I remember my pro day, and I remember because I never forget it. I pulled my hand straight running a 40-yard dash, and it literally doesn't make any sense. And then the crazy thing, we did a second one because if you recall, Cam Hayward was hurt. He had his own pro day. I ran again, pulled my hamstring again. So, I mean, that's just some fat man drama for you right there, man. But yeah, man, needless to say, man, we went out. The guys seemed like they had a fantastic day. I believe the star today, the one that had the most buzz around his participation for the day, was Mike Hall Jr. Some of his numbers kind of came out for some scouts and things of that nature. 4.740. For a guy, for a defensive tackle, I think he weighed in about 290, 6'3". He measured well in his jumps and bench press and things of that nature. And I got to see some clips on him online. What did you think about his day at Pro Day? And did he, I mean, I'm assuming he helped himself out, but what's your thoughts on him and improving his draft status because of it?
Yeah. When you think about it, Mike Hall is like the kind of player Pro Day is specifically almost meant for. It feels like, you know, he had the most to gain from something like that, because if you ever watch him, and I always mention how I like watching one-on-one defensive line versus offensive line, he's just a very explosive player, and he moves really well, comes off the line really well, has good feet. And the pro day is that opportunity for you to show that, right? To be able to go out there, run a 40, move around, do drills. I think he helped himself a lot. You know, you don't have, you know, there's arguments for whether or not Pro Day is worth it or not, right? But for a guy like Mike Hall, you don't have a slant call. You don't have all the potential things that can impact a play in a real game. You just have a guy who's big, right? And you get to see how he can actually move on the field. And, you know, whenever Mike Hall gets a chance to show how he can move on the field, it's going to be impressive. And I think he had he did himself a lot. And I think he probably jumped some spots in the draft just based on what he was able to do at the combine and pro day.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I just agree, right? I mean, like you say, when you see a guy like that move around, how quick he could do things, how fast he could do things, it's always impressive. I mentioned before just a second ago that we have some guys that's currently on the team participate in the pro day. A couple of those guys was JT and Jack Sawyer. We know those are defensive ends. And they're taller than Mike Hall, but you know, you expect the defensive end to kind of move better than your D tackle. I mean, typically that what you expect. And yeah, you know, I got to watch them do some kind of several drills side by side. And I mean, everyone would say JT and Jack are most likely, you know, potential first round guys. And I mean, Mike Hall, if he wasn't moving better than him, I mean, it might have been a slight difference, but I mean, he was right there. And you see the way you see him move, cut through bags, his dips, his hips, the way he explode is almost second to none. Especially when you're talking about someone that plays in that three technique type of role. So obviously we're excited to see where he goes in the draft. We don't know. Obviously there's a lot of time between then and now, but I would say, I think they had a third round grade on him. I would say that he's probably, you know, helped himself out through this process and is creeping up to potentially that second round, maybe late first round, because he is a D tackle type of conversation. Now another conversation around our Ohio State Pro Day was Marvin Harrison Jr. Did not participate. Didn't participate at the combine. Didn't do anything. I think some interviews, some of the physical stuff here at Pro Day. He didn't do anything. I think he just kind of, you know, talked to some teams. It was around. It was involved, but didn't actually work out anything like that. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, is he leaving something on the table? Is he leaving that window open for one of those LSU guys to jump ahead of him? Or what's your thoughts?
I mean, we've made it like a custom, right? Like it's the thing we do. We do combine, we do pro day. And if somebody doesn't throw the ball at the combine, they talk about it during the combine. Oh, this guy didn't want to show up. He didn't come out here, didn't want to compete, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes to pro day and throws. And they say, oh, this guy was amazing at his pro day. He's going to be a – listen, it's just the 24-hour news cycle, and it's something to talk about. Marvin Harrison literally ran routes last year at pro day, right? And all the coaches and GMs and everybody who was there were in awe, you know, of him during – that pro day. Nothing has changed except him getting even better this year. They don't need to see him running routes. They saw it in person. They have it on video. They've seen him throughout the entire season, multiple seasons. There's nothing to me that he could have done at pro day to help himself. And honestly, even from like running the 40, like he's a guy where you don't really question his speed. Now, if his speed was questioned, if there was a question whether or not he could run, that was a real question, then maybe I'd say go out there, run a 4.4 or whatever and solidify that, but it's not necessary. And he also asked the top nine teams pretty much, do they want to see him at Pro Day? And they said, we don't need to see anything. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, if there's anything he could have done at Pro Day, it would have been going there and participating only to attract more coaches who want to come see him, only so they could see other guys, because he's not doing nothing for himself. So I think at the end of the day, it's really a non-issue.
Yeah,
it's not important.
I got you. Yeah. So now, if you caught us last episode, we kind of went through the participants, and we just kind of gave you know what we felt are their strengths, where we think they may land into the NFL draft. But, you know, kind of looking back at it, we forgot a guy, man. We forgot Xavier Johnson, one of our captains, our captain wide receiver here at Ohio State. And it seems like he had a pretty good day. I mean, his flashes, his clips was kind of all over the internet. Obviously, we know what type of impact he made at Ohio State. In a room full of stars, right, we have this walk-on essentially kind of going out there and still contributing. Obviously, it's seen found enough by his teammates that he is elected a captain. So what do you think about his day, his potential for the NFL? Do you think he'll get drafted? I know he would land free agent at least somewhere, but what's your thoughts on him as a player? And does he have a chance to kind of maybe sneak into that draft, a late round or something of the sorts, and go directly to a team in that fashion?
Yes, I think he's interesting because as a college football receiver, running back, et cetera, he was a great player. He was a great player. You could put him in a lot of different positions, a lot of different places. And that means, you know, it indicates that he's a really good football player. He's really good at what he does. And he's one of those guys who can run like full speed but still make all the moves and cuts without having to really slow down to make those cuts. So I always thought that was impressive of him. The one thing I questioned always about him was his acceleration. Like, what is his speed? And that's the type of individual that you go to a pro day, you run a 40 to try to, you know, show teams, you know, I can run at a certain speed. So I don't know what he actually was able to run at pro day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw him doing the routes. I saw him in getting in and out of routes. He looked good. And I think he'll get an opportunity to compete for a spot on the team. And it's really dependent on, you know, his ability as an athlete from that a running standpoint, whether or not, you know, he'll be able to, you know, sneak into, you know, late in the draft. Because he has really good film. And the only question would be, what is his athletic measurables? But great player at Ohio State and has real potential to be a player in the NFL.
Right. Yeah, so another thing I wanted to kind of discuss is, like you said, Marvin Harrison Jr., he did pro day last year, so it really wasn't needed for him this year. But you saw several guys, as I mentioned, JT, Jack Sawyer going out there and doing D-line drills. The people throwing the ball to receivers for the day was our two current quarterbacks, Will Howard and Devin Brown. I seen G Scott out there running routes as well for scouts. What's your thought on players that's currently, you know, still on the roster, still has some time to play at Ohio State, going out there and competing in front of NFL scouts? Do you think that's a benefit, or is a chance they may, you know, hurt themselves, or is that just part of the competition now of being the starting quarterback? You know, go throwing in front of scouts before you get the job. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the competition thing was kind of a discussion on like social media and stuff, but I didn't see it so much as another competition between Will Howe and Devin Brown. What I see it as a recruiting tool. I see it as a way to keep players at Ohio State. I see it as a value add for every player, right? Because now, if I elect to stay for one more year, I can still do pro day. Mm-hmm. I could still do a little bit of a dress rehearsal for the next level of what I'm expected to do. I could still get out there in front of coaches and begin to build my resume. And allow them to see me up close. Potentially, I don't know if they can talk to coach. I don't know how that stuff works.
Yeah.
But you have a guy like Devin Brown. Everybody's questioning whether or not, you know, will he consider transferring, et cetera. He said he won't, right? But, you know, if you start thinking about why not transfer, well, you can be at Ohio State and get developed by some of the best coaches in college football. This is just assuming. This is saying if he didn't win out, right? Because he still has a chance to win out the starting quarterback.
Yes, he do. That's a whole other conversation. But yes, he do. Right.
It's a whole other conversation. But and for Will Howard too. He didn't. You know, he had a chance to decide to go to the, you know, go in the draft. But you can stay. You can go to pro day. You can throw in front of all these coaches one time and get feedback. All right. You can get feedback on, you know, what they think about you, how they feel about you. What do they think you need to work on? And I think that's a big value add. And I like that it wasn't just Devin Brown. It was, you mentioned G. Scott. You mentioned Jack Sawyer, JT. Just being able to get out there and do it once. Because even if you don't really do it to the level that you want it, you come back again and do it again next year, right? So all it will show is improvement at this point. And if you're Marvin Harrison, who does it, and everybody's like, wow, I can't wait for him to be, you know, to come out here next year. You don't even have to do it again. It's like, you know, we've seen enough. So yeah, I like it, man. I think it really begins the development of professionals. These guys are professionals in college. Mm-hmm. We could pretend that they're amateur or whatever, but the money being generated and the money they're actually making says differently. So they're professionals in college, allowing them to be able to, you know, continue to go on that professional interview and then play a season and be prepared to do it again. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of, I guess, shout it out that, you know, JT and Jack goes out there with Mike Hall and do drills with them. And it seems like I believe there was the only three defensive linemen that was out there doing drills. And I just want to say, like, you know, that's really helping out your guy. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, yeah, we've been through this process. And when I went through the process, I believe it was at least three or four offensive linemen doing drills with me at the same time. I know when you did your pro day with several DBs coming out at the same time to do drills with, and how much of an ease of mind is that you got some guys next to you doing drills, right? You know, it's obviously it's a football field full of people, right? Everyone is looking in at you. And just to kind of relax and let your hair down a little bit and just know that if I step on a bag or I trip over a cone or something, it's not the end of the day. I got some of my other brothers here right next to me competing, doing things as well. And it just kind of, in my mind, just help you relax, give your best day, do your best step, and just kind of show who you are without just being so much pressure. Because, I mean, obviously, you want to do well, right? This is everyone's lifelong dream to go to the NFL if you're playing college football, especially at Ohio State. So it's a tense situation. I mean, I know, the individual drills are usually like, 10 to 15 minutes. And you would never be more tired in your life from a 10 to 15 workout because you're just on. You're on at 115% on every drill, running as hard as you can, doing everything to the best of your ability. And then that's the nerves of it. So just having some guys there with you to kind of go through it definitely helps a ton. So, I mean, I just want to give a big ups to JT and Jack for going out there with Mike and, just kind of, I'm going to say, easing the situation for him. That's for sure. Yeah. So now I think we kind of can switch things up a little bit. Pro Day was great. We're glad to see our guys kind of go out there and do well. And next is the draft. I don't know. When's the draft? April or so? A month or so away? I don't know. But the draft is coming up. And if anything happens, we'll give you guys updates on that as well, especially around our Ohio State Buckeyes. But I wanted to discuss this with you. I don't know. I guess it was a week or so ago. We seen the retired coach, Nick Saban, obviously stepped down from Alabama, and he was presenting in front of Congress. So it's kind of funny how big this college sports is, this amateur athletics is kind of getting, that we got guys, we got people in front of Congress discussing the standpoint of where college football is at and where it's headed. And obviously, now I didn't listen to the whole thing, but, the sound bites kind of came out. It didn't sound good, right? Nick Saban is saying, what led to his retirement. His wife came up to him, and she's like, all the players care about is money now. And after the season, he was doing this exit interview with his players like all coaches do. And everybody just kept coming in, guy to guy, how much I'm getting paid next year, how much I'm getting paid, and what we're bringing in, how many people we're bringing in to recruit at my position so I could, be guaranteed a spot, and all those kind of conversations that kind of assisted in his mindset of going ahead and leaving the sport. But I guess I just wanted to ask you, obviously it was much more to it. I'm sure it's just not, cut and dry. He don't want players to get money. That's it. But what's your thoughts on the mindset of some of our, I'm going to say some of our legacy, our older coaches being in this generation and dealing with all the change that's taking place to college football and just kind of having to live with it and cope with it or essentially step aside?
Yeah, I don't like to respond too much to just sound bites because the challenge is you don't have the full story. You don't get the full conversation. But you don't know what else was said, after that or what was said before. So, and we all know, there's issues with NIL.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, there was issues before NIL, and now there's issues with NIL. And when they continue to advance towards a better solution, there's going to be issues with the new solution, right? There's always issues. And I think a coach, as up in age as Nick Saban, who's done this thing a certain way for so long, then out of nowhere, everything changes. Like, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating regardless of what you think about NIL. It's kind of like, we could have done this a different way. We could have done this a better way. We could have came up with a better way of doing things, right? And honestly, at that age, Nick Saban's age, like, you're not going to change. Like, it's too late, right? It's too late. Everybody said you got to evolve with the times. It's like, man, I've been doing this, and I've been doing it successfully. I've been doing it at the highest level better than anybody, and now all of a sudden I got to change everything. So it's going to be challenging for him. And I do truly think Nick Saban cares about players.
Yeah.
I think he cares about players. I played with a lot of guys who went to Alabama who played for Saban. And based on their experience, I take Nick Saban, I give Nick Saban the benefit of the doubt. However, the reality is, there had to be a way to figure out in this massively growing college football space where billions and billions of dollars continue to be renegotiated to create more billions and billions of dollars, how to get the player some type of opportunity to generate money off of this growing industry. And the way it was done was the door got kicked open, and now everybody's running in and stealing stuff. The door got kicked open, now everybody's looting. And they're like, hey, we gotta figure something out. And everybody's like, it's too late. Like, we knocked. And now it is what it is. So, I mean, there's going to be some change. There's going to be continued evolution. And there's going to be some structure put around it. But, you know, I'm hopeful that the structure that's put around it is one that allows for more growth and doesn't stifle growth. You know, that allows players to earn and puts the player's best interest from an injury standpoint, from a potential earnings, from a long-term standpoint, instead of just, you know, money right now today, which is also beneficial. I hope it incorporates all of that. And I'm individually a proponent for continuing to figure that out. So, yeah, I think saving, you know, there's some part of it is, you know, it's always been done this way, but I think some part of him truly cares about the players, and he can see some negativity in the players and their long-term opportunity. But you got to come with solutions, not just the problem.
Okay. So I don't want to be like, you know, saving this type of situation, right? Because you know, this is just how it came out, right? And we're talking about literally, I'm sure he probably spoke for an hour. Hours, and all we get is the 10 seconds of that little clip of about what happened in that situation. So we don't want to harp on, obviously, you could see that a lot of older coaches feel like we spoke with Urban Meyer. We didn't say, like, yeah, I'm done with coaching college football, right? And another legacy guy, an older guy, historic coach, and just due to the landscape of things, just how things kind of are playing out now. So, like I say, not harping on it. This just wanted to kind of, I guess, speak on it a little bit here. But I guess, real quick, you know, couldn't they see this coming? No, right? I mean, couldn't it have been foreseen? And now this is past Nick Saban. Now this is just admin to the NCAA. Couldn't they see this coming that one day they would have to kind of let go of all the constraints that they have on the student athletes when it comes to making money? You would think they would have started working on the plan years ago. And so, okay, if it gets to this, then we'll start doing this. But obviously, it did not take place. So, yeah. So,
they saw it coming somewhat, but they tried to hold on. Just like Nick Saban, and not Nick Saban, just like the older coaches in general. You know, you've done something for so long, it's like, you know, I don't have the energy to try to reinvent myself. I think they needed some young bloods making some decisions, like making some guys who play the sport, some innovative thinkers to come in and say, you know, maybe we should change things. Because at the end of the day, like, if you've been successful and everything's been great for so long, you know, you're not thinking about how to change it. You're thinking about, you know, how do we keep this thing going? If it's not broke, don't fix it. But it was broken.
And it's still slightly broken. Here, we call it keeping our eye on the team up north. They lost the defensive line coach, and I'm just gonna end the show with this. They better not touch our defensive line coach. That's all I gotta say on that, Joe. And I wanna end the show with that. We always end the show with an OH.